Now this morning, if you'd please turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles once again. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. Last week we looked at some verses from chapter 13. And this morning we are going to look at some verses in chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. Let's look at verses 1 through to 7 this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his sons reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places, the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, Let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the richness of the Word of God. Lord, your Word is rich in truth. Lord, it is deep. It is, Lord, powerful. We pray, Lord, that like a two-edged sword, your Word would pierce to the very depths of our hearts and our greatest need. And Lord, you would examine us and try us and help us, Lord, to have faith in your word this morning, so that we may come forth as gold as we seek to live a life of faith. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, last week, if you remember, we looked at chapter 13 in the book of 2 Chronicles. And there we saw a wonderful victory in the life of God's people. There was Abijah, there was the tribe of Judah, the nation of Judah, and they were standing by faith, you remember. Remember, they were experiencing great opposition. They were outnumbered, and we saw and learnt much from the need for you and I to have faith when all the odds are against us, didn't we? And then we also learnt that important truth that we need to not soon forget, that even when we live by faith against the odds, sometimes things will get worse and not better. Sometimes God will allow things to get worse, but in that very moment, that's the time to completely and utterly rest and depend on him. Verse 18 in chapter 13, look with me quickly there. "Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they," what's the next word? "Relied upon the Lord God of their fathers." So they won a great victory. They won a great victory through faith in their day. And this morning what we're going to look at is the generations that followed. Now look up here this morning. Do you realize that your faith doesn't only affect you, but it affects others? Think about the life of Noah for a moment, a man of faith, there in Hebrews chapter 11. Think about his faith affected others. Well, we could rightly say we would not be here this morning if it wasn't for the faith of Noah. Yes, we know that our line goes all the way back to Adam, but we could rightly say because the Lord destroyed the world with a flood, and only Noah and his family were saved. We also come from Noah. It was Noah's faith that changed the world. How about Moses? Moses was just one man. But when he put his faith in the living God and endured the wrath of the king and went back to Egypt, would you agree with me this morning that his faith influenced and impacted the life of an entire people and generations to come for God. In fact, the Jews to this day, though they have rejected Christ, still look to Moses as the one they look up to. The faith of Moses. And we could go on and on and on in the list of these heroes of the faith to quickly soon realize that, yes, our faith does affect those around us. You know, sometimes we think we live in a little bubble, and if we are not doing well in our faith, well, that's just my problem, and, you know, I need to work it out and deal with it, but it's not such a big deal because at the end of the day, that's my problem. I'm struggling with this, and my faith doesn't influence others, but that is not true. This morning we will see, and that's the title of the message, that our faith affects others. Your faith and my faith affects those around us. Now, Abijah, the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 14, slept with his fathers. Notice he was buried in an honorable way. He was buried with those kings before him in the city of David. Now, Abijah wasn't a godly king, but at the end of his life, perhaps like Samson of old, he chose to live by faith. He chose to put his faith in the living God. And notice this morning, what I'd like us to see, how Abijah's faith affected his son, Asa. And this is going to be a very revealing study in the Word of God. I hope you're ready for it this morning. How does our faith affect others? Well, notice first of all, the foundation of Asa's faith. You see, when Asa began to reign as king, because of his father's actions at the very end of his life, he began on a firm foundation. He began on a good foundation. Notice what chapter 14 and verse 1 says. The Bible says at the end of that verse, "And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet from war." How many years? 10 years. Now remember, in Abijah's day, it was very different. Was the land quiet from war? Yes or no? In his father's day? No. They had war all the years of their life between Israel and between Judah. But because of Abijah's actions of faith in his day, Asa enjoyed the benefit. He enjoyed the blessing of not being involved in war for 10 years. For 10 whole years, he began his reign as king, not in a kingdom of war, a divided kingdom, but a kingdom of peace. That was the foundation of Asa's faith. He didn't have to face the same struggles that his father did. Is that right? No, he could go on in his faith for the Lord. Everyone knew that God had given them the victory. All they needed to do was to talk to the old folks, perhaps the ones with the grey hair, and ask them, "Were you there on that day when Abijah stood on the mountain?" "Yes, I was there. And you know, we were all standing around and Jeroboam sent the army behind us. There was the army before us. We were outnumbered. We were outmaneuvered. But guess what happened? We cried out to the Lord and the Lord delivered us." Can you imagine what a wonderful foundation that was for the next generation to come? That was the foundation that was laid for Asa. And it would have been a wonderful start to his life. And as I've mentioned before, Abijah was not a godly king. And I don't want to pass up on that fact. 1 Kings chapter 15, if you go back a couple of books, backwards two books, to 1 Kings chapter 15, notice verse number 3. Verse 3 says of Abijah, or Abijam, it's the same person. Verse 3, "And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father." Notice what God reveals to us about Abijah. We might be surprised, but we ought not to think that these ones were perfect at all. In fact, more than not, Abijah wasn't a godly king. Maybe something clicked at the end of his life. Maybe he chose at the very end to make a choice for God rather than a choice for his selfish self. And yet the Bible tells us that they prevailed in faith, and that one act of faith made a huge difference, can you see this morning, regarding the generations to come. And what is the lesson that you and I can learn this morning? Well, we need to understand our faith does affect others. When you and I choose to live by faith, when you and I choose to trust and rely on God in the most difficult of life's circumstances, there are others that are watching. There are young people that are watching. And our faith, our choices in those moments, don't just affect us, they affect those around us. And we can make a great difference. Now, Abijah, though he doesn't have much to say of him that's much good, the Bible records this wonderful victory for a purpose, to show us that our faith does affect others. So that's why it's so important that the just shall live by faith, completely relying and trusting upon the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, are you living by faith? Are you trusting in the Lord and putting your confidence in the Word of God? Someone is watching your faith. And my point is this, because of Abijah's faith and the faith of the nation of Judah at that time, Asa as the new king was set up on a firm foundation. There was peace in the kingdom. And he could now go even further in his faith than his father did because of the foundation that was laid. Friends, our faith does not live. We do not live in a bubble. No, not at all. Our faith does affect other people around us. Eyes are watching. Let me challenge you parents and adults this morning. Our faith does affect others. And it's so important that we first rely upon the Lord and choose to trust in Him so that the next generation would be set up with a good foundation, amen? A firm foundation. We need to set up a firm foundation for the generations to come, for our children in our home, for our family, for our church family. That's why we need to live by faith. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Notice verse 11. Why don't we read verse 11 together? Let's read together on two. One, two. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Friends, what is your faith and mine based on? What is the foundation for our faith? Faith is not based upon our feelings. We know that. Faith is not based upon our faith. What is the foundation of our faith? Let's say it together. Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Let me ask you this morning, have you established the foundation for your faith? Adults, young adults, teenagers, have you established the foundation for your faith? Are you trying to live by faith without a firm foundation? The Bible tells us in order for you and I to live by faith, we need to first rely, trust, completely depend on Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. Has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins? And you turn to Jesus Christ to save you once and for all. Have you experienced the full forgiveness of sins that Christ provides when you call out to Him in faith? Well, I trust you have. But let me say, you can never go further in your faith except if you build your faith upon Jesus Christ. We need to make sure we have a personal relationship with Christ. We need to make sure, first of all, that we are saved. Parents, we need to make sure we lay that foundation in our homes. We need to make sure that we are telling our children about the Lord Jesus. We need to make sure that the Sunday school ministry is not the only time they hear about the Lord. It's just an additional time that they learn about the Lord. Amen? Yes. That we talk to our children about the Lord. That we give them some things to think about so that their little minds start ticking. And they start to ask questions. Children are very, very bright. If you've noticed, they pick up on everything. Why? Because our faith affects others. It does. And we need to be so careful that as parents, as adults, and yes, even teenagers, we live by faith in our homes. And we set up a good foundation for the generation to come. What a privilege it is to influence others by faith. You know, as I've been thinking recently about the foundation of Coastline Baptist Church, what is the foundation of this church? That's a good question, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ. And how was this church built? Well, friends, it wasn't built by bricks and mortar. It was built by faith. Amen? Now, some of you know the history of this church much better than I do because you were there when this church began. When this church was simply made up of a few believers gathering and praying for God to establish a Bible-believing church in the city of Cairns. How were they praying? Well, they were praying by faith.
Amen.
Amen? Lord, we can't do this. You need to do it. And Lord, you need to do the impossible. Praying, meeting, encouraging one another. There wasn't a church. There was a small group. And God answered their prayer of faith. On the other side of the world, there was a missionary family who were also praying by faith, Lord, what would you have us to do? And as Pastor Dan DeLong and his wife and their daughter answered the call of faith, the Lord brought the two together, and here we are today. What has this church been founded upon? Faith. Faith in the Lord. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in His promises. His blessings. Friends, faith is so necessary. It's today. Wow. Thank you, Brother Huey. Good opportunity and reminder to send him a text message or an email and say, Happy birthday, Pastor Dan. Faith is what this church has been based on. So you don't need me to prove to you this morning, do you, that our faith affects others. Why are we here this morning? Because of the goodness of the Lord and for those who are willing to dare enough to trust in God. Amen? To believe He can do the impossible. To trust in God to do His will in this place. And friends, that legacy of faith needs to continue.
Amen.
Adults, how are we continuing that legacy? Are we willing to boldly and daringly live by faith in our lives? Well, if we are, let me encourage you. Our faith will affect those around us. Affect the next generation. Christian, we need to be bold in our life to address those areas of unbelief. Address those areas that perhaps we have not surrendered to the Lord. That's faith. You know, we all have areas of our lives, don't we, that we're still holding on to, that we've not yet surrendered to God. We might be surrendered in one area, but we know, don't we, those areas we've not yet let go to God. We've not yet given over to God. Friends, that is how we live a life of faith. We surrender our lives to the Lord completely. Lord, what is Your will for my life? Lord, I've got a plan. I've got desires. I know what I'd like to do. But Lord, I surrender all that to You and say, Lord, what would You have me to do? In a particular situation or in our life all together. And friends, when you and I completely, without any restraint, let go of all that we're holding on to, and completely rest, rely, depend upon the Lord God of our fathers, that faith will influence someone around you. That faith will impact someone and make a difference in the generation to come. Adults' little eyes are watching. You know, I think about little Asa, there in his dad's kingdom, knowing what his dad had done. Hey, Asa knew the sins of his father. He knew his dad wasn't perfect, but what was it that influenced Asa? Well, the Bible says that he did right in the eyes of the Lord. That's what Asa did. Obviously, his father's faith at that time made an impact, and it made all the difference. You might be here this morning and you might say, Pastor, I've failed too many times. I'm a lost cause. That is not true. Thank God, as we learned this morning as adults, the blood of Jesus Christ still speaks today. Still speaks for our forgiveness. Still speaks for our revival. We can rise up and live a life of faith. We can live for the Lord. You see, there was peace in the land. And what Abijah's faith accomplished was to lay a good foundation for the faith of his son to come. Would you agree? Would you agree this morning?
Yes.
Now speak to me or else we can't get to the second point. Amen? The foundation of Asa's faith was what took place beforehand. That's what set up peace in the land for 10 years. All right, back to 2 Chronicles this morning. So if you're in Corinthians, you're in the wrong book. Back to Chronicles in the Old Testament. Thank you for turning back there. We've seen the foundation. Notice, secondly, the increase of Asa's faith. Now, this is encouraging. The increase of Asa's faith. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Notice with me that Asa had a much greater faith in God than his father did. Verse 2. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. The Bible says, and he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. If we were to go to 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 11, the Bible says this, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, listen carefully, as did David. Wow. So you remember what God said about Abijah, that he followed the sins of his fathers. And he did not walk perfectly before God. He did not walk with the same heart. His heart was not perfect before the Lord his God as David's was. But here we have Asa, his son, who now is experiencing an increase in his faith greater than what his father fulfilled. Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that encouraging? That as we live a life of faith, we can be encouraged that not only will our faith impact the next generation, but our prayer and our desire, isn't it true, parents, is that our children will go much further than we have. That our children will not make the same mistakes. That our children will have a greater heart for the Lord. Now, how can that be done? It means you and I starting today to live by faith. To set an example so that our young ones may increase in their faith from an early age. Now, if you are a parent here this morning, or if you simply care about the next generation, let me encourage you to live by faith. I believe too many Christians today live in regret and in guilt and shame. And so they don't live a life of faith. They think that God is done with them, that they are in the rubbish bin until eternity comes. But that's not what the Bible says. Amen? If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to restore us, to revive us, to get us back on our feet so we can be an example of faith. Let me ask you, Christian, are you in the pit of guilt this morning? Are you in the pit of shame? Are you allowing yourself to stay there? Friends, the blood of Christ still speaks today. You can come boldly before the throne of grace. And there you can find God's mercies for forgiveness. There you can find God's grace to help you run the race of faith. But we need to get back up. Amen? See, so often we remain in that pit as adults. Why? Because we think, well, it's my pity party and I can cry if I want to. Is that right? Look, it just affects me and I have the right to complain. I have the right to be here. In fact, I'm kind of enjoying this pit because I like to have a pity party. Our sinful flesh does, doesn't it? Jonah loved to have a pity party. Well, what did God say when he came along to Jonah? He said, do you have the right to do this? Do you have the right to complain? What right do you have to do that? You don't have any right to have a pity party. And either do we as Christians. And the worst thing is that when we stay in the pit, our lack of faith also affects others. It doesn't help our children to grow. It doesn't help our children to have confidence in God's, in God, in the Lord God of their fathers. If we lose the plot, the little eyes are watching. Amen? If we lose the plot in this church, if we refuse to accept what God allows in this church by faith, then people will fall away. Is that correct? People will fall away because of a lack of faith. That's why it's so important that we take steps of faith in our lives. That's what will make a difference. You know, Asa knew his father well, as I've mentioned already. Asa knew. You know, you might look good this morning, but let me assure you, in our homes, in our families, our children know us, don't they, parents? They know us. My parents know me. And I know my children in a way that you do not. And in our families, our children know us. They know our daily lives. They know our intimate secrets. They know our failings, but they also can know our faith. You see, for Asa, here's the encouraging thing. He could have looked at his father's life and say, look at my dad, what an ungodly man. And yeah, he did something good at the end. But hey, look, if he didn't believe life was worth living for God, look, guess what? I'm not going to do it either. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us, because of his father's example, even at the last, Asa went forward in leaps and bounds in his own life for God. Would you agree? He followed David's example. And there were others, I'm sure, that were an encouragement to him. But you see, I believe that Abijah's example made a difference. We'll see that soon in a moment. But you see, the increase of his faith is an encouragement for us to press on. Christian, what has God led you to? And he's calling out to you to trust me. Don't give up. Rely on me. Depend totally on me. It might be in the area of our finances. It might be in the area of our health. You know, our family sees all the trials of our life. They're looking on. What will mum and dad do right now? You know, they're worried more than you are. If you think you're worried, our children pick up on it much more than we do. And if we panic, they're panicking too. Would you agree? We're panicking, they're panicking. If we're falling apart, they will fall apart. It's so important to understand our faith does affect others. But the encouragement is, as we keep things together by totally relying on God, guess what? They can go much further in their faith. When they face trials, when they face temptations, when they get saved, the foundation for them will be much stronger and much earlier. That's what happened to Asa. He began to get rid of the ungodliness in the land. You know, some things his father had left there that hadn't dealt with. Guess what? Asa was dealing with it. He was getting rid of the idols. In the book of Kings, it says he got rid of the Sodomites, amen? Got rid of them from the land. He dealt with sin. He dealt with idolatry. He dealt with paganism. He dealt with sin. He went so much further in his life for God because of the increase of his faith. Now, teenagers, you might be here this morning. You might say, well, I'm a child. I'm looking to my parents for their example. But you're not off the hook either. Teenagers, some of you have brothers and sisters as well. Some of you have little eyes that are watching you. I wonder what Big Brother is going to do with their lives. They're watching and they're asking. I wonder what older sister, Big Sister, is going to do with her life. Is she going to get serious about God? Is she going to surrender, or he going to surrender his life for God? Is he going to seek after the will of God for their life? And they're looking on with big eyes like this. Looking on. What are they going to do? What example are they going to set? Why is it that we find generation after generation so often not living for God because older brothers and sisters are not serious about God? They're following their own path. They're going their own way. And so little brother, what does he have to look up to? Well, he says, well, I guess I'm just going to follow the same path. I'm just going to do the same thing. But young people, teenagers, you can break that chain of unbelief in your generation by living for God, by totally relying upon the Lord, by living by faith. Amen. Teenagers, you're not off the hook. But you've got a wonderful privilege in your home to be an example. Even if you've made a mess of things. Amen. That's the example we see this morning. Even if you've made a mess of things, it's never too late to start living by faith. Our faith affects others and it leads to an increase. What Asa saw in his father was not the years of unbelief. What he saw was the big turnaround for God. Is that right? Amen. He saw the big turnaround. He didn't see the big mess. So no matter where you are in the Christian life, if you turn around for God, that is what will shine brightly for the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. What a wonderful truth in God's word. What a wonderful truth in the word of God. You know, I still remember the day that I sat down with my parents and my brother, my younger brother, and I said to them, you know, God has shown me in his word his will for my life. I was working as a full-time graphic designer at that stage, making good money, parents were happy with the stability in my life. I was saved. They couldn't be more happy. And then I broke the news that I'm quitting my job. I'm going to Bible college. The future is uncertain, but the Lord had called me into full-time ministry. Now, they were pretty shocked at first, because it wasn't perhaps what they had planned for me. And how many of you as a parent realize that, well, we just want our children to be secure. We want them to be stable. That's natural. That's normal. But they responded in faith, thankfully, and at the end of the day, they supported me wholeheartedly to surrender and just to step out by faith to see what will happen. I had no plans for the future. I had no idea what was around the corner. I just knew what God wanted me to do. Now, I'm not sharing this story in order to boast in any way. I just want to share this story to rejoice with you about what happened a few years later. I may have shared the story in past times before, but there was a day that came around that we were sitting together as a family, and my younger brother Thomas spoke up. And he said, I just want to share something with you that God has been doing in my life. So as you can imagine, everything went silent. And we were listening in. Now, Thomas had gotten saved while he was at uni. He was studying a Bachelor of Biotechnology, Medical Science at the Australian National University. And he decided to do his honours year. Then he went from honours to masters. Then he went from masters to do his PhD. 8 years of study all up. So teenagers, if you're complaining, young adults, think about 8 years. A lot of those years were in a lab. And the Lord and Thomas was doing wonderful work. He was working on some wonderful medical work in that field of biotechnology. And at that time, towards the end of the year, Thomas simply asked the Lord the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I know that I can make a lot of money. In fact, I can go straight into a job following this year if I want to. And I can be safe and secure and set up for the rest of my life. But Lord, what would you have me to do? And that day we sat down with my family. Thomas said, God showed me in his word exactly what he wanted me to do. And he wants me to be a Christian school teacher. He wants me to teach true science to Christian young people and to show them that science is from God and to teach them the truth about the world we live in and to impact the next generation for Jesus Christ. And you know, as I sat back, I thought to myself, I wonder if this has anything to do with perhaps a few years ago when I did the same. When I surrendered, listen young people, my life to God. I wonder if that impacted his life in any way. And I believe according to the word of God that it did. Now I don't boast in anything. I thank God for counting me faithful by putting me into the ministry. That's his calling, that's his enabling. But you see, it was my choice to say, yes. And when you adults, young people, teenagers say yes to God, it will impact the next generation. It will cause them to go further in their faith. It will give them a foundation for their faith by your example. The increase of Asa's faith was because of his father's moment of faith. Adults, what victories have you experienced in your life recently? Maybe it's just around the corner, but you simply need to say yes to God. Now, some of them may surprise your family. Some of them may shock them out of their comfort zone. But friends, if it's the will of God, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to follow. If it's according to the word of God and the will of God, friend, you need to rest wholly upon the Lord and expect him to bless in ways that you cannot yet see. You see, the increase of Asa's faith, I don't think his father saw that. I don't think he realized it was coming. But it did. Yes, our faith does affect others. And Asa went forward in leaps and bounds. And that's what we want for the next generation. Is that right? That's what we want for our church. Would you agree? Leaps and bounds. Moving forward for the Lord. Now, if you're still not convinced that our faith affects others, here is the punchline of the message. The third point, as we see the victory of Asa's faith. We've seen the foundation laid. We've seen the increase, and now we are going to see the victory. You see, just like Abijah in his life, God chose a moment of time to test the faith of Asa. What's really there after all? Is he really trusting in God, or is he just pretending? The victory of Asa's faith. Come with me to 2 Chronicles. Are you still with me this morning?
Yes.
And we're going to wrap up with verses 8 and onwards. Notice a description of the army of the day. Verse number 8 in 2 Chronicles 14. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. And all these were mighty men of valor. So Asa had a great army of men, a great army. They were mighty men of valor. They knew how to use their weaponry. Come with me to verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian and an host of how many? What's 1,000 times 1,000? That's 1 million, folks. 1 million Ethiopians, and not only 1 million soldiers, but in addition to that, 300 chariots. Now, Asa's army didn't have any chariots. They had spears, they had shields, they had weaponry of war like that, but they didn't have chariots. Here's an army now of 1,300,000 chariots coming against them. And according to my mathematics, suddenly Asa, the 10 years of peace had ended, and suddenly an army of over 1 million was now approaching them to wage war against them, and there were twice as many soldiers as Asa's army had. Now let me ask you a question. Does that sound familiar? Twice as many soldiers. Hang on a second, that rings a bell. I think about chapter 13, how they were outnumbered, the odds were against them. They were twice as many. Asa's men had shield and bows. Zerah had 300 plus chariots. Now, how did Asa respond? Have a look in chapter 14. And these are wonderful verses. Wonderful verses to encourage our faith. Verse 10. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in, what's the next word?
Array.
They set the battle in array. Again, that sounds familiar too. In the valley of Zarephath and Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, notice this carefully, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Now, how did Asa know that? That's a good question, isn't it? Has he ever been in battle before, yes or no? No, he hasn't. He has not experienced war in the entire reign of his kingdom. How did he know that it is totally within the power of God to help those who have no power? How did he know? From his dad. Amen? From the faith that went before him. From the examples of faith that he was given. He knew that God, though they were outnumbered, was able to do the impossible. Lord, it's no problem, in fact. What a mighty faith. How boldly and confidently he prayed to the Lord. Lord, it's nothing with thee. Can you imagine standing before 1 million Ethiopians? They were the fiercest warriors on the planet, by the way, young people. The Ethiopians with their with much better weaponry than anyone ever had, chariots that could mow down their enemy in an instant. There they were approaching them. Can you imagine the dust cloud that they were kicking up? Can you imagine how they looked? Like they were going to completely consume them. And Asa prayed, Lord, it is nothing for you to help those who have no power. Lord, it's nothing with you. The faith of his father. Notice what he says next, and this is really the punchline. Help us, verse 11, O Lord our God, for we, say it,
rest
on thee. Do you realize this word rest is exactly the same as the word relied back in chapter 13 and verse 18. They relied upon the Lord God of their fathers, Abijah, and the nation. Now our Asa cries out, Lord, we rely on thee. Just like my dad did. Lord, I'm going to do the same. Just like they won the victory. Lord, it's nothing for you to give us the victory. Lord, we rest in thee. Lord, we rely upon you. Lord, we put our trust and confidence in you. And as he prayed, would you agree with me? It's not difficult for us to see. It was almost as if he was thinking back to the victory of his father's day. And though they had greater numbers against them, they had the same God. Though they had great opposition against them, they could put their faith in the Lord for victory. Notice verse number 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Friend, God did the same thing in a greater measure. He won the victory. In Asa's generation, they saw a wonderful victory won for God. And Asa cried out to God because he had an example of faith to follow. Yes, it wasn't parents of perfect example, but it was something, amen? Something great, a big turnaround, something that he could sink his faith into and say, look, if Dad did it, we can do it too. We can trust in God and expect Him to do the impossible. And that's what will happen when you and I as Christians live by faith and believe that our faith does affect our children. Our faith does affect those around us in our church family. We need to live by faith. That's my point this morning. Your faith is affecting someone today. You're making an impact for God whether you like it or not. Is it positive or is it negative? If it's negative, well, Abijah turned around, didn't he? He did. He turned around. He said, look, I'm going to make a decision right now. Am I going to just continue the path of following the sins of my father, or am I going to make a choice? Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't had some good examples to follow in your family, in your past. Maybe those around you, friends, are not even Christians. You might say, Pastor, I haven't had many good examples to follow. Well, let me encourage you to follow Hebrews chapter 11, amen? Let me encourage you to follow those who are living by faith in this local church. Let me encourage you to be encouraged in the Word of God. We have no excuses. We can live by faith. And friends, our faith does affect others. As we look at what happened to Asa, now, as we close, look up here this morning. Asa faced a greater battle than his dad did, would you agree? These weren't the Israelites who knew better. These were the Ethiopians that knew nothing but their pagan gods. Ferocious, vicious, bloodthirsty, vile people. Attacking the people of God. The battle was much greater in their day than it was in Abijah's. And adults and teenagers, our children, our brothers and sisters, our young ones are going to face greater battles in their generations than we are facing today. We live in the end times. That's why we need to encourage them to live by faith. Though we are not perfect, our God is perfect. And we want them, as they face the sins in their lives and they face the battles in their day, to cry out to God like Asa of old and say, Lord, it's no problem with you. You can do it. I've seen you do it before. I've seen the victories in my parents' lives. I've seen the victories in my brother or sister's lives. I've seen them follow the will of God. And yes, I know they're not perfect, but God, I want you to do in their life what you... I want you to do in my life what you've done in theirs. Amen. By faith. Our faith affects others. Let me encourage you, young people, to put God first. Some of you will be entering into uni in the next years ahead, 2, 3, 4 years. Teenagers, you're growing up. Let me ask you, what are you going to do with your life? There's a big turning point. Are you going to live for self? Or are you going to surrender to the will of God? A big question. And that faith will either encourage someone around you or discourage them to do the same as you. What are you going to do? Big choices to be made. But thank God we have a wonderful God with a perfect plan for our lives. Let me encourage you to put God first. Thank God that Asa followed the will of God. Parents, we need to do the same. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how surprising it is to those around us, we need to follow His will. We need to be zealous after the will of God. And we need to serve the Lord also. need to trust God to do the impossible. Now, the cost is great if we don't, but the blessing is greater if we do. Amen? The cost is great. All you need to do is read Judges chapter 2 and read of a generation that grew up, that came to adulthood, that knew not the Lord and the works. Don't miss that word. The works which he have done. They were raised up another generation, adults, that knew not the Lord. Why? Because they knew not the works that he had done. And our children need to see the works of God in our day. Amen. Our children need to see the works of God in our personal lives. Our children need to see us wholly surrender to God so that as they grow up, we can lay for them the best foundation that can be laid. I'm glad that at the end of Abijah's life, he left an impact on his son. Enough to follow and move forward by greater faith in his day. Friends, it's not too late. You're not written off. Amen? God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. We need to, without fail, stick to that plan. Stick with God. Trust in him. And expect him to do great things in those around us so that Christ will be glorified.